97 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The International Court of Justice in The Hague demanding that Israel take steps to prevent acts considered genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. The court, however, stopping short of ordering an immediate halt of military operations. Israel insists it will do whatever is necessary to defend itself. An Alabama man put to death using a new form of execution, nitrogen gas. The UN Human Rights Office says it is experimental and could amount to torture.
Rather than looking for novel, untested methods to execute people, let's just bring an end to the death penalty. This is an anachronism that doesn't belong in the 21st century.
UN Human Rights spokesperson Ravina Shamdasani. Donald Trump eyeing the White House, now urging congressional Republicans to reject a bipartisan deal on the border. Sources say Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell has told his conference they don't want to undermine the former president, but they have a job to do, and this puts Republicans in a bind. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks of pregnancy has passed the state assembly. Democratic Representative Lisa Subek.
These are decisions that are deeply personal. Every pregnancy is different. And these are individual personal decisions that should be made between a patient and our physician.
10 Republicans voted against the referendum. Governor Evers says he'd veto any effort to make abortion less accessible. It's a new record for Affordable Care Act coverage in Wisconsin. More than 266,000 people are enrolled after the latest open enrollment period. The Department of Health Services says that's a 20% increase from last time. Open enrollment is over, but some people can enroll year-round. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center WRCE, I'm Jimmy Kuska. An 18-year-old man is pleading not guilty after being accused of hitting and killing a middle school student with his vehicle near Reedsburg last year. The student, Evelyn Gurney, was waiting for the bus last May when the 18-year-old man swerved and hit the back of a school bus before hitting and killing the seventh grader, according to court documents. Prosecutors say data from cell phone records show the man was texting and driving before and during the crash. The next court date is in April. Grant County officials are looking for information about a hit-and-run crash Tuesday morning near Dickeyville. The crash happened on Highway 151. According to the sheriff's office, a 25-year-old Platteville man was driving on the highway when another vehicle crossed into his lane and hit his vehicle, causing his vehicle to roll over in the median. The man was not hurt. The other vehicle drove away. Anyone with information is asked to call the sheriff's office. Your weekend forecast calls for cloudy and foggy conditions with highs in the upper 30s and low 40s. For WRCE, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Badgers take on Sparty. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers host the Michigan State Spartans at the Kohl Center, but the Badgers will be without their backup point guard. Kamari McGee suffered an injury to his ankle and right foot in the second half of their game against Indiana. McGee out of Racine St. Catharines now listed as out indefinitely. Marquette hosts Seton Hall tomorrow at noon. NBA, the Bucks and Doc Rivers agreeing to a four-year deal worth $40 million. Rivers taking over for Adrian Griffin, fired Tuesday. The Bucks host the Cavaliers tonight. Joe Prunty on his role as the Bucks interim head coach.
Circumstances are always different, but like I said, you just do. Time doesn't stand still. You got to keep moving forward. And so, okay, what decisions need to be made? How are we going to handle this? What do you say to the players? What do you say to the coaching staff? And so I was proud of the guys for doing that, like coming out and staying focused on what we needed to do.
That's the Bucks, Joe Prunty. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is foggy out there again this morning, and that's going to continue all day long today, although visibility will improve a little bit by later this afternoon. We also have scattered off and on rain likely through the day with a high of 37. Tonight, cloudy, more fog, our low 34. Tomorrow, it will be cloudy with a high right around 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Sounds like something I'd like to do.
Right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, we were talking about the fact that they want to kind of do away with sociology.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me is that this doing away with courses is designed to try and do away with ideas being transferred into someone's head from, what, a book, from a professor's talking. And it's almost like the conservatives. I think you had a quote that you were reading me during the break about the rationale that was being given by these Board of Regents.
When asked about the change, a spokesperson for the Florida Education Commissioner, Manny Diaz Jr., referred the Washington Post to a December tweet in which he claimed sociology had been hijacked by left-wing activists and no longer serves its intended purpose. Sociology, hijacked.
Hijacked. Well, but, you know, the notion that courses are political entities, yeah. Right? And so what my conclusion from this is that much like conservatives have decided that immigrants will all vote Democrat, so we ought to make sure that there aren't too many of them, and we will accuse the Democrats of wanting lots of them because they will turn into Democrats. And I think they've looked at the polls and have realized that highly educated people tend to vote more liberally or Democratic. So maybe their notion is there's something in this education thing that's turning people into liberals. And so we better figure that out. We better strain out of the education process all of the stuff that we think is liberal leaning, and we ought to have fact-based things, you know, like this fact-based history course of the United States from 1877 or whatever, you know, accounting. We could all take accounting, I suppose, and be cured of this process of being turned into liberals by lots of education.
Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. To me, they're taking a playbook from the Muslims, Taliban, hard lines there. What are they doing? They're doing everything they can to dumb down their population and only do what their imams or what have you say is what we have to do. We're not going to teach anything else. And it's this, the evangelicals, the Republicans are all doing this as well. They are going out of their way to dumb us down. And it's got to stop. I mean, look at the Muslims back, you know, 1,000 years ago. You know, they brought us algebra. They brought us geometry. They brought us so many great things. And now look at what a good segment of their population is now. It's a sad, sad thing, but I'm really hoping. I read this sociology thing down in Florida that they want to get that out of the high schools and everything, that we don't need to teach that.
Yes.
And I really hope that the Democrats stand up to these people and someone start talking about what this really means, not some political talking point that has to convince these people that we're doing the right things, and they are so not. And I'm very
hey Tom, well said. So Sandy, he said these people need to be convinced that these are the wrong things that are being done.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that people are susceptible to the notion that we don't want to let our kids learn stuff that we don't want them to learn. I remember we had a caller who called in at one point and said that his son had gone to college and come back a different person, and that was disturbing. Well, you know, we need to be open to thoughts, and we need to have our value system is what ties us into filtering through all of the thoughts that we are provided with, both thoughts that are provided to us extrinsically coming from the outside, as well as our own imagined thoughts, because most of the demons we have reside within our own imagined thoughts. And then we need to be able to filter through them using our values and decide where we want to go. But we have learned over and over again in history that trying to restrict that which people will be offered up to think about is a very damning thing to society at large, and it has horrible consequences.
You know, Sandy, the reason that... So, again, this divide, I was talking about it yesterday, between red and blue, Republicans, Democrats, it's so dangerous right now. It's always been Democrats and Republicans, but it's all or nothing now. It's going to be our way. We've got more Republicans here.
Well, it's not only all or nothing, but it's what we were talking about the first segment. It's all about partisan. It's all about partisan victories, and winning partisan elections.
Right.
You know, and it's not even about accomplishing substance. It's about winning elections, and that's what it's all about: power. And what is done with that power should be related to the policies that will be implemented for the benefit of the people, but that isn't what's being discussed.
But, Sandy, when you look at it from the perspective of who's going to be in control over the power, it means that they use the power to diminish the other side. And there's always going to be a pushback on that. People aren't going to sit back and continue to allow, Sandy, those kind of things that are happening right now in Florida, in Texas. And even some in Wisconsin.
Well, we hope not. I mean, we hope not. You know, I think that, like I said, all of this is done out of fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the invasion of the future into the past, into the present, and changing the present from the past into what's going to be. And there's been plenty of written about this by sociologists as well as as well as historians. And the fact is that you need to resist this fear of change, and people need to embrace change, okay? They need to embrace it and figure out where the opportunities lie and not where the pitfalls are.
All right, Tom, quickly. Tom from L.A.
Yeah, Earl. You know what? It's just like Sandy just said, it's just all a game. And the thing is, all they want to do, Republicans have one policy, and if anyone can tell me differently, I really would love to know. It's to give tax breaks to the billionaire class. That's it. You just heard the Wisconsin guy the other day, oh, the people need to get their money back. Yeah, you might get a $200 or $300 back. I have the worst roads in the, you know, in the country. But you'll get $200 or $300 back. But Will Hendricks will get millions of dollars back. That, as I think Jack said from Merrimack, how much is enough? How much do you need? They're hoarders. They're hoarders with their money. I mean, how much is not enough? That would be the big question. And again, listen to the Republicans every time they speak. Oh, tax break. Oh, the people deserve to get their money back. They don't deserve good roads. They don't deserve good bridges. They don't deserve any good health care. But boy, they deserve that $200 tax break that they might get back from their taxes. Meanwhile, the billionaire class gets us fighting with each other about trans issues, about black and white issues, and that's what they want, so they can steal. So we're all fighting with each other, and then they can steal the money, and they can keep getting their tax breaks for billionaires.
Hey Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, just kind of tease this before we, you know, go into the next segment. But Democrats take aim at Medicare Advantage ads as seniors call foul. Man, I've been talking about ever since I got old enough to receive Medicare, which has been a while now. I kept constantly talking about, I don't understand how it works, right? And I'm still struggling when every year at the same time it opens up where you can get a chance to choose,
well, you know,
the Medicare Advantage.
Well, yeah, you can choose Medicare Advantage, or you can choose your prescription health care coverage thing. The two areas of complications are actually the areas where lobbyists on K Street stuck their nose in and got things accomplished in the prior decades. One of them being during 2003.
George Bush, yeah, 2003, George Bush Jr., who said that the government could no longer handle Medicare on its own. I got an idea. We'll privatize.
Yeah, so they set up this private option, which if you ever sit down and think through all the details associated with Medicare Advantage, yeah, you pay a slightly smaller premium than the premium you would pay to the government, but the coverage you get, everything gets compromised, and the process is not beneficial, okay?
So, Sandy, I'm embarrassed. I still don't know what I have.
Whether you have Advantage or...
Well, I have Medicare, and then I have the supplement, but I don't understand it. And so...
Well, the very good thing about Medicare itself is that it's simple, okay? You simply have it, and the premium you pay for it is... And there's no decisions to be made. There are decisions to be made about the supplement. If you decide to fill the hole in the donut...
I've got the supplement.
The 20%. Then you can choose your supplemental insurance. But that's the same problem you would have if you had private health insurance.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that on the other side. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll return.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This ad furnished by Nesmontage LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 27cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is different. They're one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 27cash.com, and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My. Democrats take aim at Medicare Advantage ads as seniors cry foul. So seniors are now talking about how they've been taken advantage of. Uh-oh. Hey, Calvin. You got your hand on that dump button? All right, Al.
Al woke up.
Hey, Al.
How are you?
Good morning. I woke up when Creedence Clearwater was on about a half hour ago. Oh, you think I don't know that music?
So you didn't wake up with Downtown with Petula Clark? I played that especially for you.
No, I was napping on that.
So, Al, you're into rap, is that it?
I mean, no, not quite. No. Jazz.
Well, we can do jazz.
Before you and me, Sandy.
Muddy Waters.
Hey, okay, Al, man. Thank you very much for the call. All right. A Democratic senator has launched a probe into Medicare Advantage advertising practices after seniors complained of being misled and left with fewer, costlier, healthier healthcare options. Senator Roy Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon and the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, has issued letters to the leaders of the five Medicare plan advertisers as they look to end deceptive marketing to seniors. Wyden said his probe looks into how companies use insurance agents, lead generators, and other data to target, market to, and direct seniors towards certain Medicare Advantage plans. Medicare Advantage plans, which are privatized versions of the federal Medicare, often allow seniors to get lower premiums and vision, dental health care, all bundled together, but there's a catch. There can be a hidden cost, namely high out-of-pocket payments for treatments and a limited number of doctors who accept your insurance. So, Sandy, they've known this. This was created under former President George Bush II, who thought that we should, for all the people who keep saying, let's privatize government, this is a prime example, Sandy, is it?
Yeah, this is a clear example of there is no free lunch, okay? And so, you know, what they did was they set up a program in which they would have private insurers who would step in and be the intermediary between the government's Medicare program and the patient. And the intermediary would receive payments from the government that would reflect the kind of payments that would be made by the government to the individual. And the private insurer, which is allowed to call itself Medicare Advantage, but it's actually a private insurer, then sets the conditions for the insurance to the customer. It tends to have premiums that are at or below the premiums you would be paying for your Medicare premium. But it restricts
the places you can go, unlike Medicare, you can go anywhere with Medicare, but you can't go anywhere with Medicare Advantage. So, and it also changes the out-of-pocket cost, the copay that you might have for various services. And so you have to look at the fine print. When you look at the fine print, you scratch your head and say, why would I do this, number one? And number two, it's proof that there's essentially no free lunch. You've put in the middle between the patient and the government, a for-profit entity who is saying that they're going to try and make it cheaper, okay? But they don't.
Well, but Sandy, the thing is, again, so many seniors have been gouged, and they can least afford this, right? And our government has sat back and watched this go on because lobbyists carry a lot of weight, right?
Well, the lobbyists are the ones who created it in the first place and gouged. Well, you know, it ends up being inconvenienced, and it ends up being spending more than they should have otherwise. And it ends up being troublesome, okay? And gouged, you know, the dollars, the volume of the dollars is not huge in each person's pocket, but it is huge when you total it up for the Medicare Advantage programs. And it's not a good deal.
You know, Wilder said seniors' information is sold by these marketing companies multiple times as they look to enroll seniors in plans, regardless if they are the right fit for their healthcare needs. It's taxpayer dollars which are lining these middlemen's pockets, Wyden said. So ultimately, my goal is to stop the deceitful marketing practices, protect the privacy of seniors, and make sure every senior in America gets the healthcare they need. That sounds about right.
It does sound about right. And to be honest with you, when I was offered Medicare Advantage by the insurance broker that I work with, I asked him about it. He said, well, you have to kind of look at it, and there's got pros and cons. And then I looked at it, and for me, the cons far overwhelmed the pros. I had to scratch my head and say, okay, why would I do this? Because, you know, particularly people who are getting Medicare are people who will consume medical services.
Right.
You know, it is people who are in their last 20, 30 years of life, and that's when we consume medical services. We aren't big medical users.
Calvin's age.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
You know, but Sandy, the thing that bothers me the most is you're an attorney by trade. You understood the language. The average person doesn't understand the language. It's written in a manner that we can't understand it.
Right.
So we're sacrificial lambs.
It's the whole medical system. The whole medical system has been written in hieroglyphics and organized in a manner that is reflective of hieroglyphics. I mean, it is complex, and every aspect of it is. And complexity is a very fertile ground for lobbyists.
Sandy, I think the average American, be they an elderly person, be they Democrat or Republican, would agree that I don't think is right what is happening to us. So if there's somebody who finally is stepping up, be they Democrat or whomever,
right,
to address it, wouldn't you think we should all jump on board with that?
Yeah, in fact, you know, I think people did applaud when Trump ordered that hospital pricing be made public. I think
that was a good idea.
I think everyone thought it was a good idea, and I think it received some applause. It was one of, and it was in a short list of good ideas, I think, that he had, but... But it was a good idea, and there is much that needs to be done to simplify and to make less expensive and to make more accessible our healthcare system.
All right, we got to take a short hiatus. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This local radio station is part of Civic Media. Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More private zoos in Wisconsin would be exempt from state regulations after a bill that passed the Assembly yesterday. Zoos licensed by the Department of Natural Resources face several requirements, but zoos accredited by the Zoological Association of America would not. The FBI says a growing number of teenage boys are victims of sexual extortion on social media. Special Agent Curtis Cox urges parents to talk about it with their kids.
These kids are victims. If your kid does report this to you, don't judge, don't be angry. Look at them as a victim and help them get the help and the resources that they need.
Scam artists will pretend to be an attractive girl, ask for nude photos, then threaten to post them online if the boys don't pay. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. An 18-year-old man is pleading not guilty after being accused of hitting and killing a middle school student with his vehicle near Reedsburg last year. The student, Evelyn Gurney, was waiting for the bus last May when the 18-year-old man swerved and hit the back of a school bus before hitting and killing the 7th grader, according to court documents. Prosecutors say data from cell phone records show the man was texting and driving before and during the crash. The next court date is in April. A man with warrants out in multiple Wisconsin counties was arrested by federal marshals in Indiana on Wednesday. Anthony Fulton had been on the run since July. Fulton had warrants in Richland, Adams, and Winnebago counties in Wisconsin, as well as two counties in Indiana. According to federal officials, Fulton has prior convictions for failing to register as a sex offender and supervised release violations. Your weekend forecast calls for cloudy and foggy conditions with highs in the upper 30s and low 40s. For WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race
there
now.
Is no path to victory.
There is no path for
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Badgers take on Sparty. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers, host the Michigan State Spartans at the Kohl Center, but the Badgers will be without their backup point guard. Kamari McGee suffered an injury to his ankle and right foot in the second half of their game against Indiana. McGee out of Racine St. Catharines now listed as out indefinitely. Marquette hosts Seton Hall tomorrow at noon. NBA, the Bucks and Doc Rivers agreeing to a four-year deal worth $40 million. Rivers taking over for Adrian Griffin, fired Tuesday. The Bucks host the Cavaliers tonight. Joe Prunty on his role as the Bucks interim head coach.
Circumstances are always different, but like I said, you just do. Time doesn't stand still. You got to keep moving forward. And so, okay, what decisions need to be made? How are we going to handle this? What do you say to the players? What do you say to the coaching staff? And so I was proud of the guys for doing that, like coming out and staying focused on what we needed to do.
That's the Bucks' Joe Prunty. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is foggy out there again this morning, and that's going to continue all day long today, although visibility will improve a little bit by later this afternoon. We also have scattered off and on rain likely through the day with a high of 37. Tonight, cloudy, more fog, our low 34. Tomorrow, it will be cloudy with a high right around 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
The Ed Sullivan Show. You just took the words out of my mouth. When I first saw the Beatles, that was the song.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, if this had been the only song they came out with, I wouldn't have liked them. You know, they evolved a long way from "I Want to Hold Your Hand."
You know, yeah, but there was something about it. It was catchy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll always remember it as a young kid watching Ed Sullivan and the Beatles first time. All right, 844-967-2789. Is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And so, Sandy, I want to, you know, a couple other things I wanted to talk about. But, man, I think it's important that we talk about, you know, and we'll come to the phone lines in a moment. Why has there not been a ceasefire in Ukraine? Here we are. We talked about this for a while. We thought that there would be conversations and that by now there would be a ceasefire.
Yeah, we're almost 2 years.
Where is that conversation?
I don't know. I think that neither side has a clear advantage.
Which is all the more reason to have the ceasefire, right?
Or not. I mean, I think parties want ceasefires when they think they're going to accomplish an objective. It's depressing. And my sense is that ultimately it's going to be a diplomatic solution. Diplomatic solutions always come out of ceasefires. I don't think either side's going to have be able to declare a complete victory. I think Ukraine will have to give up some territory. I think that's currently the major sticking point.
But didn't we, do you think we as a nation, the United States, is doing enough to try to foment the ceasefire?
Well, unfortunately,
I don't think we are.
Well, unfortunately, the way it's happening now, with Congress getting in the way of any further expenditures for Ukraine, gives Russia a good deal of interest in not having a ceasefire, right? A ceasefire comes when both sides believe that they're at something like a stalemate and that they need to talk because otherwise they're just throwing
the wheels, yeah.
Good money after bad and good people after good people. And so now if Russia can look at this and say, well, the United States is going to pull the plug on this, then we're going to have a serious advantage in the future. So we don't want to have a ceasefire today. We want to wait. And however, if the United States was in a position where they had funding approval, so Ukraine could look across the trenches at Russia and they would both understand, we can both go on fighting like this, or we can have a ceasefire, then you are more likely to have a ceasefire. And so, you know, I would guess that to the extent that we would approve the $60 billion of additional aid to Ukraine, it might make it altogether more likely that we wouldn't have to spend it all. Because there would then ensue a ceasefire that could settle the problem. People could move on to the reconstruction of Ukraine.
There's a push in Israel by the Hague, supported by
the International Court of Justice.
The International Court
at the Hague.
By, of all people, yeah. South Africa.
Yeah.
Who are saying, hey, enough already. This is genocide. You've got to stop this. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, they have brought a case in The Hague, that South Africa has, against Israel for the tenor and the conduct of the war against Hamas and certain of the circumstances that have occurred there. Of course, Israel will counter with arguments about Hamas and the things they have done. It's a little harder to bring a case against terrorists, right? So you've got a state that can be the subject and a defendant in an international court of justice. Not so easy to have it be terrorists. But the Hague is an interesting place, and it does the right things. But we can go back all the way to the situation of Milosevic, the Serbian who was being brought to trial for genocidal kinds of conduct in the Bosnian-Serbian conflict. And it never got resolved. He died before it could get resolved. It took years and years and years. And so, and once it would get resolved, it's not at all clear what the who the entity is that carries out the justice, implements the decision.
Let's do this. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. He wants to talk about Medicare. Go ahead, Mike. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah. Thank you, Earl. I share in your frustration with in your confusion with Medicare and Medicare Advantage. If you remember, at the same time, the W administration pushed hard for the privatization of healthcare. They also signed the Medicare Prescription Drug Act. And I talked to John McCain personally on this issue, and he told me to my face that that was the worst piece of legislation that he had ever supported, and he regretted deeply, working within that prescription drug plan. Because remember what that whole thing was, is about the government not being able to negotiate wholesale pricing, if you will, for the drugs that we need.
Interestingly, Mike, what it did is it mandated that everyone get prescription drug insurance. It mandated it so that you can't not have it without being in extreme jeopardy, and that was the way that big pharma could assure themselves that they would get paid.
Well, and again, at a list price, they got the invoice of
right.
the U.S. government.
Right.
At whatever price that they chose, no negotiations were allowed, which is insane, if you think about it. But the point is, we find ourselves in this healthcare system, not only is confusing and cumbersome, but very expensive. We're at least twice the price of other modern nations across the globe. And when we continue to see the Medicare Advantage being marketed as smoke and mirrors, and who wins is the insurance companies. When we continue to witness and finally start to get a little bit of traction in getting relief in our costs of our prescription drugs, and we again track back to how this happened, it's obvious that Congress and pharma is wagging the dog. And who's getting the short end? You and I. Way too expensive, way too confusing, very frustrating, to the point where I know people who are retired that they put their hands up in the air. They're confused. They don't want to deal with it.
I'm one of them. Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Kurt from Wauwatosa. Same thing, Medicare.
So, Earl, I have a help information for you. There's a YouTube channel, and it's the title is Medicare School. And if you take the time to go to that YouTube channel and listen to the owner of the company, you will understand the difference between Medicare, Medicare Supplement, and what they call Medicare Advantage. It's the best YouTube channel available right now. And not only you, but any listener in the audience, if they go to that YouTube channel and they listen to the speaker, they will understand the difference between the supplement programs and what are called Medicare Advantage.
Well, thank you. You clearly sound like a younger guy. And so the information is certainly needed. And where were you at in January when we were changing changing over? But it's not too late, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gene from McClary. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
I just want to bring up something. As long as you're talking about medical care and Medicaid, in our area, we, within the last week, were told of a shutdown, and it's happening, got letters on it, that our HSHS hospital in Chippewa Falls, St. Joseph's, that is closing down by probably in March sometime. And then a big hospital in Eau Claire is closing In addition to that, this Prevea wonderful health care system is also closing. And then a place that works with AODA issues, the L.A. Phillips Treatment Center, Liberia in Chippewa Falls, is closing. Chippewa Falls will not have a hospital, and none of the facilities or who runs the facilities let any of our government people know anything that this was going to happen. The doctors will be out. The patients won't have a place to go. And it's like a medical disaster waiting to happen.
So Jean, Tom from L.A. talked about this earlier this week and I think late last week. And he said that these things were happening. And he pointed to the fact that our state refused to take the Medicare dollars, Sandy.
Yeah, it was Medicaid dollars. Medicare for all. Yeah, I'm sure that had an impact, and there's no question that the medical care system is broken, and it's broken in so many ways, and it's turned into a pure business as far as hospitals are concerned, and it's not turning out well for patients, and broad scale patient care is suffering in locales just like she's identified.
So you know, all over the state, especially rural areas, this is what's happening. And, you know, when you turn down federal dollars like our state has for far too long, Sandy, other states pick it up, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a cutting off your nose to spite your face kind of a political action. Not building that railroad will forever look like a stupid decision.
And the high-speed railroad.
High-speed railroad from Chicago ultimately to Minneapolis, but certainly to Madison, to Madison, would have been a huge infrastructure benefit. And turning down the Medicare for All money that was going to be provided by the federal government as an option to supplement was just a crazy thing to do. And it was only done by certain Republican governors in certain states.
You know, it is absolutely, you think about those things now. People complained at the time that those decisions were made by then Governor Scott Walker, and they said there were going to be the wrong decisions. There was great fanfare from the Republicans, because they controlled everything at that time, that they were doing the right thing. And I never will forget the dollars for the high-speed railroad. They took the money, California,
Florida,
everywhere else, they took the money.
Yeah.
And Scott Walker got accolades and pats on the back because he was able to stop this.
Well, he was running for president, as we recall, at that point. So the people he got accolades from were really those who were sort of nationally conservative, saying, look at this guy, look what he stood up for conservatism. He didn't stand up for Wisconsin.
Right. Okay? Well said. 844-967-2789. Got to take a short hiatus. Don't touch that dial. Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
Center, WRCE.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hold on.
A little bit of disco going.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back. It was during that time. Welcome back to the Sandy. You knew about disco?
Oh, yeah.
A horrible, horrible time.
It really was.
I know.
Bell-bottom pants.
Hey, that's my era.
Did you have bell-bottoms?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bell-bottoms.
Did I have bell-bottoms? Absolutely. Hey, I had platform shoes with...
Honest to God.
Yeah. Oh. With heels 12 inches high.
Not 12 inches. That's...
Well, maybe 8.
Whoa.
Yeah. Welcome back. Hey, man, I'm stylish, man. You know? The
fly.
Bee Gees, that's, Friday.
That was fly. We call that fly.
Yeah, it was fly. I was fly.
You were fly.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844. I'm glad I don't have any more pictures of those.
I want to see him.
My wife. Somebody's probably got him.
John Travolta.
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
I was a part of Saturday Night Fever. Only it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Let's go to Mark from the site. Mark, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sorry to call on a second time.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
The Alabama execution. It took the guy 20 minutes to die, apparently.
Oh, yeah,
and
man.
It reminded me of the story of the last execution here in the state of Wisconsin back in 1851. But the guy's name escapes me at the moment, but it took that guy 20 minutes to die when he got hung, and it so horrified our state that we outlawed capital punishment in this state in 1853. I wonder if this is what it's going to take for them to ban capital punishment again, because it's just horrific to think of this guy who, you know, apparently thrashed around for 20 minutes on the gurney, you know, suffering that whole time, the time it took him to die. So, I mean, that...
Mark, there are people who will say, you know, he did an egregious thing. I read about, you know, the person he killed. I'm not saying, you know, that killing him brings the person back. I'm not a supporter of the death penalty, but clearly what they did in an experiment is part of what Sandy and I are talking about all the time, and they're just doing all sorts of things without thinking them through in this country anymore.
well, without thinking through what it is a country like us should stand for. You know, I think we're beginning to turn things on its head in terms of what is the glory of the concept of the United States and the glory of the vision that is the vision for the United States. And I just fear that when people lose that vision and start acting out in ways that are in the name of patriotism, but aren't really part of the vision.
You know, Sandy, it is true. Whether people want to accept it or not, there's a metamorphosis going on in this country, and it's not good, right?
Yeah, our culture, it's funny because it's righteousness taking hold in a terrible way. I think that
self-righteousness.
Actually. And the thing is that it's being done, and the people who are doing it think they're doing the right thing. That's the nature of righteousness. And unfortunately, I think that it's blind righteousness.
You know, and so we see it. We see, all of us see, that our nation is changing. And so we don't expect a nation to, and human beings not to evolve, right? That's the...
Well, sure. I mean, that's the thing. Our society is going to evolve, and that evolution is inevitable. It's like the freight train; you can't stop it. And however, there are those for whom the change creates a great deal of fearfulness, and it creates a very reactionary approach. And the reactionaryism is not pretty, and hasn't been pretty in almost any time in history. When reactionaries take hold, it's all being done for the purpose of righteousness, right? It's trying to hold on to what was, but holding on to what was doesn't work, and the freight train continues to move.
You know, the other aspect of it, Sandy, is, and you've said it multiple times, you constantly have said it, you're in my generation calling the shots on the future. It's just not a good thing.
Right. I mean, to be reactionary requires that you have a memory of what it was that you want to retrieve. And people who are 20 and 25 and 30 and 35 and 40 don't have that same memory. And they see the future much more clearly. And we see the past much more clearly.
Yeah. And so we've got to abdicate our views on what the future should be. Because it's not ours, right?
Right.
The future is not ours.
Exactly.
You know, and yet we've got people who are pushing as if the future is still ours. It's not. It can never be. It wasn't our parents. It wasn't our parents' parents. And we're no different. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah. And the fact is that when we get older, we think we're wiser. And so we can maybe better see the future. But we don't have the same vested interest in the future that those who are younger have. And it's that vested interest. They're the ones who are going to live it.
Right.
They're the ones who are going to experience it. And they're the ones who will be accountable for the actions that are taken now in the future. And so I think we all ought to just recognize that.
So I thank everybody who made the show go, as always. Thank you, Sandy. Could not do it without you, Calvin. Certainly couldn't do it without you. I want to thank, again, take some time out before we get out of here. I only got a couple seconds to thank you, the listening audience, for continuing to support Sandy and I on this radio station. Up next, Jane Madner and Greg Bach in Madner on Air.
To Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Albaugh Show. On Friday, Todd continues his winter tour around Wisconsin, and we are joined by Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World. Join us noon to 2.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd, where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
News.